Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning on this beautiful day. If you are a visitor with us, we are so glad that you are here. We invite you to find out more about us on Facebook, or you can find us on the web at www.convoyumc.org. If you are a member, we are so glad that you have found this morning acceptable in God's sight to be here, and we are blessed. We also, I'd like to just, as we start out, my daughter said, "Are you going to embarrass me today?" I said, "Absolutely. You know, this has been going on long enough." So I have one of my infamous unseen children here today. So I told you I have three. I actually produced one of them for you today, so you can see that I have my daughter and my grandson are sitting back here with Rob, and so we welcome them. We had the weekend together and went to the Fort Wayne Zoo yesterday and had a blessed day with that. The first announcement, before I forget, is that in your bulletin, the second hymn, and Are We Yet Alive, is not 366, but 553. So if you are a person who likes to sing and see the music, you want to make that change in your bulletin. We also have a lot of different announcements that are in here that are equally important, so please make sure that you read through the announcements. We have Charge Conference coming up, and that's in there. That's an important part of our life as the church. And today we have the Pregnancy Center Walk, and there's quite a few others. So make sure that you go through the bulletins and read those. Vicki? Do you want to use that mic or this one?
Okay, I'm here to reiterate a little bit of what Melissa said about the walk today. Is anybody walking today that picked up the form? Anybody walking? Warren's walking, and I'm walking. And believe it or not, my husband, he must have felt guilty that he was on the video, so he's going to walk today. First time in 10 years. So if you would like to make a donation, see Warren or myself. We have our sponsor sheets with us today, and we can sign you up. Even if you didn't do a sponsor sheet and it's a beautiful day and you would like to come out and walk at Fountain Park at 2 o'clock, we like the numbers. It makes a presence in the county that people are supporting this ministry and that it is a good ministry to support. I just lost my notes. Food pantry, I would like to thank the Miller family, the Hughes family. They bought us a cow, and it's already been delivered to Manly's. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Dad. Okay. So we will be having the freezer filled up with ground beef here before long. And then I also was told that the Leary family have a hog that has a broken leg, so he couldn't go to the fair. So they are donating him to the food pantry also. Not real happy about having to do that, but we appreciate that very much. That was food pantry. The walk. The loaves of love. If you can't get your Loaves of Love products up to the Village Ministry Center, they're beginning to collect out here in the vestibule. You're welcome to bring them here. I'll see, Tana will see, we get them up to the Village Ministry Center. Also, with Convoy Days, not only is there a sign-up sheet for pies and desserts, Lynn has posted a sign-up sheet for the UMW. We are going to sell pop, cold drinks, water, pop, tea, whatever we can get donated at Convoy Days downtown on Market on Tully. And they're two-hour shifts. If you can sign up, we would appreciate that very, very much. That's it. Thank you.
Got one. Okay.
A little bird told me that there was coffee made for the adult fellowship class. So I think we probably ought to show up and drink it. Anyhow, our class welcomes anybody of all ages. I mean, we have from the young marrieds to the older marrieds. And anyhow, we meet in the room downstairs in the old basement. And sure love to have you, but it's time we kind of get organized again. So.
Amen. Thank you for that. And in the same light, we are called to be a community that seeks to share the faith, our faith and our love of Jesus with the community. And so you'll find that I push inviting people pretty hard. Before I do that, can we do the right now first? We have a video for the right now media. If you have given us your email and have not gotten anything yet from Right Now Media in order to sign up for that, please let me know today. We'll see if we can get some names down for that I can follow up on that. Because I've gotten a call from Nick saying that we've got some names out there and some folks that have not connected yet, have not set up their account. But I want to give you this video that'll help us tell you a little bit about what Right Now is about.
Our church is a light in the darkness, a city on a hill. Every believer is called to make a difference in the world, to love God completely, and to make disciples of every nation. But in this busy, mobile, noisy world, it can be difficult to even do the basics, to pray, to read the Word, to bring the love of God to our marriages, families, neighbors, and co-workers. We know you're here because you want to be a part of God's mission on the earth. You want to experience the abundant life that Scripture talks about. You're looking to connect your faith to every part of your life, every day of the week. That's why our church is subscribing to Right Now Media and making it available for free to every member of our church. You'll have access to over 10,000 online Bible study videos on parenting, marriage, finance, discipleship, leadership, and many more. The videos can be used in Bible study groups or for personal devotion. There's also a huge library of safe biblical kids videos. We'd love to see every member of our church utilizing Right Now Media. Small group leaders leading their adult or youth groups through engaging Bible study series. Children enjoying safe programming that doesn't just entertain, but helps lay a strong spiritual foundation. Families spending quality time together, going through devotional Bible studies. Couples using biblical studies on marriage, parenting, and finance. Applying God's Word to every area of their lives. There is something for everyone. We want to help you grow as a disciple of Christ, and we want to help you become a disciple maker in your home, your school, your workplace, your neighborhood, in whatever mission field God has called you to. We believe that this free resource will help equip and unleash you to live out your faith in every area of life, to experience God-centered, abundant life, not just on Sundays, but every day. We are for you, and God is for you. He wants to empower you every day to live for Him. Together, we can be a light in the darkness, a city on a hill.
Like every week, but would you like to ride to church with me? Oh, come on, Mrs. Edwards, you like my church. We have some hot music. It may not be what you're bumping at all, But it's hot. We get down. What do you say, Mrs. Edwards?
I suppose.
I've heard it said that 80% of first-time church visitors come because someone personally invited them. All people need to feel loved and wanted, and for some people, it just takes having someone offer to give them a ride to church. We have something great going on at this church. People's lives are being transformed by God's love. Your homework this week is to find at least one person who could use a little more of that love and invite them to come with you next week. Trust me, it's worth the extra effort.
Mrs. Edwards, you want to listen to some music on the way? Go ahead, your choice. Okay, here we are.
It's a comical way for us to recognize the need to invite folks to church and some of the ways that that can be uncomfortable. But we do have something wonderful that is happening at our church, and why not invite people into that? And also the amazing things that 81% of people who come to church come because someone invited them. What an amazing statistic, how we can change and make an impact. Are there any other announcements that we need to bring up? Yeah. You're right, there is no choir practice this week. So, but thank you for that. And if that's all the announcements, then let's prepare our hearts for worship. Heavenly and gracious God, What an amazing and beautiful morning you've given to us. There is no one like you. Our hearts are filled with hope and we are encouraged because you are gracious beyond our ability to comprehend. Be with us this morning, Lord. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us. We know, Lord, it is no accident that we are here. You have called us into this place at this time. So we pray, O Lord, that we recognize that we can see your presence with us, that we know and affirm that you are here, that you are Lord. Help us to quiet our minds from all of those places we've been this week, that we can just spend this hour focused on you. And we just pray it in your precious name. Amen. I invite you to stand for our hymn, There's Something About That Name. And would you join me in the call to worship also? The Lord hears us when we pray.
And graciously listens to our supplications.
Therefore, we will call upon the name of the Lord.
And trust all our cares to the one who loves us most.
We come to rest our spirits and refresh our lives.
As we worship the glorious name of the Lord.
Amen. And our hymn is number 277, Tell Me the Stories.
Thank you.
Jesus calls us to love one another and to welcome each other in Christian fellowship. I invite you to pass the peace with your neighbors. To have the children come forward as we sing. Well, before we get started this morning, I wonder, is somebody going to help me with our prayers and praises with the microphone? You'll do that? Okay. Well, this morning I have a bag of things that I brought with me today. I brought with me, I brought a thing of yarn. And so I'm hoping to show you some of the things that we can do and undo. So I brought this yarn. Before I do my knitting, I take it and I make it into a big ball of yarn. So I was wondering, do you think I could undo this? Can I make it not a ball of yarn? Could I unravel the whole thing? Is that possible? Yeah, that's pretty possible. I could do that. And then I brought with me a piece of Velcro, and if I put it together like that, it sticks pretty tight. But can I undo that, do you think? Can I take it apart again? Yeah, pretty easy, huh? I also brought with me a shoe, and I tied my shoelace there, you can see. But do you think it's pretty easy to untie that again? And if I untied it, could I tie it back up again? Yeah. I could do that. I could untie it and tie it and tie it back up again and no harm, no foul, right? All right. Well, what about this? I brought with me a banana. If I unpeeled this banana, I'm not going to do it. It's kind of old and it might smell. If I undid it, could I put it back in the peel again just like this? No. That would be really hard to do, wouldn't it? I don't think you could do that. What about, I also brought with me some toothpaste. If I put the toothpaste on my toothbrush and put it out of the tube, could I get it back into the tube again? No. And our lesson today, James tells us that we need to worry about our words because our words have the power to make someone feel good and someone feel bad. And so sometimes we say things that hurt other people's feelings, but once it's out of our mouth, can we take them back again? No, just like the toothpaste and the banana, once it's out there. It's hanging around and it's already done the damage, and so it's really hard to do. So he tells us that we need to be careful and think about what we say before we say it and try to bring everything that we say, that it would make somebody feel good. So when we practice things, we tell people that we welcome them and we are nice to them and we don't say mean things, even if it's our brother or sister. That's kind of hard to do, isn't it? Yeah. And so we have to practice. And the Bible tells us that if we love Jesus, then we practice what comes out of our mouth and we try and make people feel better. So that's a pretty good lesson, huh? I've got a lot of you guys this morning. So what I want you to do is to think about when you say something, make sure that it blesses somebody and that it makes them feel good and not something that tears them down or makes them feel bad. All right. Well, I need another helper. You want to help me with this? Okay, now these are our suckers, and you guys get to take a sucker. How many do you get to take?
Two.
Two. Why do you get to take two? One for you, and who's the other one for? Someone else. And when you give somebody else the other sucker, you give it to them and you tell them about Jesus. Tell them Jesus loves them, right? Okay, why don't you start at this end? And I'll let you guys pass that. You take one and pass it. Take two and pass it. And since there's so many of you guys, it may take a while. If you pick out your favorite, you might want to just pick out two. I am so glad to see you all here. Got it? Thank you very much, you guys. You guys helped me out a lot with that. You know what it made me think of, though? I forgot that instead of having you help me with the prayers and praises, we have something different today. Because usually I say, oh, thank you, guys. You can go back to your seats. But you can't go back to your seats. Did you know that? Do you know what you're going to do today? Today is the first day that we're going to have Sunday school. And so you can be dismissed to go to Sunday school. Okay? All right, let's have a prayer. Heavenly and gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you have brought these children to us and that they are here and they're ready to learn about you. And we are so grateful, Lord, that you have teachers for them, and we are just blessed. And we ask that you be with these children and bless them, especially as they share your love with their friends. Amen. Okay, you guys can go right on back with us. I think it's a mixed bag. I'm not sure they're equally excited to go to leave us. Well, we do. This is our time to share our prayers and praises. And so I wonder, do we have praises and prayers to lift up? Prayer concerns, yeah. I'm going to bring it. I'll bring it around to you this time.
I'd ask for prayer before for my granddaughter a while back. She had surgery in August. It's for Paige Gamble. They took out part of her thyroid and did find out that it's cancerous. So October 1st, they'll be taking out the other side of her thyroid and after that doing some radiation treatments. And I just wanted you to continue praying for Paige. Thank you.
Absolutely. Others? Any others we need to bring before us? Who has a birthday? Oh, God, John Hall? John does have a birthday. All right. I always love it when somebody else calls them out on birthdays. When we get over 30, we tend not to do that. Others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly and gracious God, we give you thanks for this beautiful day. We thank you for the sunshine that is pouring in through these windows that just reminds us that the seasons are changing. And as we wait, as you change and paint the scenery with new and fresh colors, we give you thanks that you are such an amazing and creative and awesome God. We thank you, Lord, for the places of peace that we experience, for homes that keep us warm, for family that loves us and surrounds us, and for a Savior that came and bore all of our sins, that we may find freedom and liberation in you. So gracious God, in the midst of that, we know that we have places where we are so concerned. We have places, Lord, that just scare us because we love each other and we love our children and our relatives, and as they go through health concerns, Lord, we're just concerned, and we know, Lord, that you are the healing God, the great physician. So we lift up those names, Lord, of folks that are part of this family and our family. We lift up Paige, Lord, and we pray that your healing hand be on her, Lord, and that the cancer not spread, and that as they take out the rest of the thyroid, that this gives her full and complete remission, gracious God. We know that when we ask these things in your name, that you hear us. We ask also, Lord, that you be with Bev as she continues to heal, and Linda as she's healing, and Kathy as she continues to heal. Oh, Lord, and all of those that are struggling with health issues. And our hearts, Lord, are heavy with those who grieve, those who have lost loved ones this week and this weekend, and those, Lord, who are in their last days. And we lift up Lord Wilmer to you. We know, Lord, he is your beloved son. We know that you have loved him, you have known him every day of his life, even before he was created. And we thank you for his faithful witness. We thank you, Lord, that he's been a part of our faith and part of our tradition and part of our own education, and just ask that you continue to be with him as he's in hospice and continues to walk with you and seek your face and to trust and lean into your grace. We pray, oh God, for all the things that are heavy on our heart. As we enter a new school year, we pray for safety for our children. Safety over our schools, the sacred place where we trust our children to learn and grow and know about you and to experience life, that you would be with them and that you would protect them. We know that they are your children before they were ours. And so your love is ever deeper. And we have places, Lord, that are private. Things that we need to hand over to you. And so we just ask that you hear those prayers as precious as we spend a moment in silence. Gracious God, we pray against racism and violence and oppression. We pray against human trafficking and slavery, whether it's children, labor, whatever form that may take. And we pray, Lord, for California as they deal with these fires that have left so many homeless and that have destroyed so many homes, Lord. And we know it's just beginning to be their season of fires. Help us to pray for the firefighters as they're tired from a whole year of fighting these fires. We pray for rain for them, Lord, for relief. We pray for safe drinking waters around the world. We pray for an end to malaria and other diseases from poverty. And all these things we trust to you as we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to stand for our hymn, and Are We Yet Alive, which is number 553. You may be seated. The word comes to us from the book of James, the third chapter, verses 1 through 12. And it says this: Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take a ship as example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, and reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise the Lord our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brother, should this not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt produce fresh water. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Heavenly and gracious God, we pray that the meditation of our hearts and the words that we speak are a blessing, and that they are praiseworthy in your sight. Amen. Well, I try not to talk too much about politics, but politics has really gotten wild lately, and I think we're on track for even a longer wild ride. Who would have guessed that Donald Trump would be leading the race? Most of us never saw that coming. Whether we love him or hate him, everyone agrees that what is propelling him to the front of the media sensation is his seemingly inability to hold his tongue. He seems to be like a verbal processor. It seems like everything that comes into his mind comes out of his mouth, kind and unkind alike. So I wanted to look at a minute, just a couple of things that Donald has said that I felt that I could in good conscience share in the church, which is limited, let me tell you. Of all the radical things he said, there's only a few things I could pick. So one of the things, when asked about the misogynistic statements he's made in the past, which included calling women fat pigs and slobs, Mr. Trump replied, "Oh no, I was only talking about Rosie O'Donnell." And in a tweet, he wrote, "While Bette Midler is an extremely unattractive woman, I refuse to say that because I always insist on being politically correct." Oh, really? I think we can challenge that. And again, in another attack of a movie star, he attacked Cher, saying that she is an average talent who is out of touch with reality. He said in a Fox News interview, Cher is somewhat of a loser. She is lonely, she's unhappy, she's very miserable. And then in another quote, as he was defending himself, he said, "Sorry, losers and haters, but my IQ is one of the highest, and all of you know it. Please, please don't feel stupid or insecure. It's not your fault." So why is it? Why is it that someone who is so vocal and verbally abusive to others has taken the lead in the polls, the popularity polls? Well, unfortunately, I think that it is a backlash. It's a backlash from the false demands of the media and the secular world to be politically correct. It's crazy. We have gone word crazy, it seems. Today, it is in poor judgment to express your opinion, no matter what it is, in fear that you might have offended someone and would be forced to apologize for it later. The problem we have isn't the ideal that we should be careful about what we say, but the reason behind it. The cultural drive for political correctness comes from a vision of erasing our differences. Now, we know that we all have differences. We are called to embrace our differences and to love each other in spite of our differences. It really has little to do with honoring God or loving our neighbors. The answer isn't to legally reprimand and mandate people, but to call people into a deeper spirituality and a deeper love for each other and a deeper love for God. What the secular world, though, and what the Christian world community can agree on is that our words can cause pain, and they can cause brokenness around us, and that's what James is talking about this morning in our lesson. We know that taming the tongue is the key to Christian maturity and witness, but we don't often pay a whole lot of attention to it, and we tend to think about it as relatively harmless. But listening to James this morning tells us something very, very different. According to James, if we can control our tongue, we can be perfect. Well, we can conquer anything. I was listening to the radio again, another story about my listening to the radio. Maybe I just need to turn it off, I don't know. But I'm listening to the radio, finding a station, and I turned on to a soft Christian station. Now, I call it soft Christian because it's not billed as a Christian station, but people talk about their faith and they talk about Christianity. And so there was the hostess, it was a woman that was leading it, was on, and she was talking, making a comment about her friend's Twitter account. And she said that her friend, who had recently, you know, lost some weight and done some things and was feeling good about herself, did a Twitter post about how good she felt about herself and posted a picture. Well, someone from nowhere, you know, out of the blue, decided to post back in comment to it and said, maybe the next time that you decide to post your picture, that you would look in the mirror first and fix your hair and maybe go on a diet and lose a few pounds. Well, that was bad enough in itself. But then the hostess came back and, putting her own 2 cents worth in, just lambasted the second woman and said, I will get you, I will find you. She is a good Christian woman and grandmother, and she is a beautiful woman and a beautiful friend, and if anybody ever posts anything again, I will hunt you out, I will call you out on this media. And I was shocked. I was like, wow. And maybe not so much her response, but the fact that she brought faith into it. She intentionally brought faith, saying that her friend was a great Christian woman. And all I could think of was, wow, no wonder there people turn off when we say that we are Christians. The reality is our lips deceive us and convict us when we don't have control of them. Most of us would never consider hurting others intentionally, but we regularly speak unkind and hurtful and unhelpful ways. So I wanted to think today about the power of words, that words can hurt and words can heal, they can tear down and they can build up. Words are powerful. The power of words, in some sense, show us and remind us that we are indeed created in the image of God as creative people. When God said, "Let there be light," there it was. It was a word that became flesh amongst us, that brought us salvation. And the author of the letter to the Hebrews says, the word of God is a living and powerful word. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Today's scripture reading from the letter of James is a critical, critical test of our Christian maturity. It teaches us that the Holy Spirit wants to shape our character to be that of Christ. If you want to ask yourself the question, how am I doing as a Christian? How well am I doing? Then listen to this quick assessment from the third chapter and the second verse of James. The Living Bible puts it this way: if anyone can control his tongue, it proves that he has perfect control of himself in every other way. See, James begins by telling us, if anyone does not stumble in words, he's a perfect man. And being Wesleyans, followers of John Wesley, we know that we believe that we are moving on towards perfection. And according to James, that means only if we have control of our tongues. Do we gossip? Do we hurt? Do we slander others? Do we say unkind things? Then James would say, you are not a Christian. You are not moving on to perfection. Well, we tend to minimize the sins of the tongue as lesser than any of the other sins. We console ourselves. We say, well, I don't swear. I don't drink. I don't gamble. I don't play cards. I've never killed another person. And I have never taken anything that wasn't mine to have. I am a good Christian. But again, what James tells us here is that none of that matters if you can't control your tongue. As Christians, we tend to forgive ourselves these little indiscretions as we remark about the faults of others. We condemn each other for all kinds of things, you know, like from having tattoos to wearing shorts to church or to be seen talking too closely to someone who's not your spouse. Well, you know all of the multitude of other ways that we condemn ourselves with what we say. We didn't tend to talk about, to talk down to gossip about everything that isn't like us. And while we remember our parents' admonitions that sticks and stones can break our bones, but words will never hurt us, our real experience is that words do hurt. And words do cause us pain in some pretty profound ways. Consider for a moment the power of words. Did you know that when we hear a word in our ears, the physical movement activates 24,000 little nerves and that react and send messages to the limbic system, which actually tells your pituitary glands to react. And especially dangerous when we hear words of condemnation. When we hear words that bring us pain and anxiety, our entire system responds. And it takes 72 hours to recuperate from that. No wonder so many of us live in pain and anxiety and in a constant state of agitation. So it is critical for those of us who claim Jesus as Lord and Savior to look very carefully at his lordship over what comes out of our mouths and our speech. So I'm going to try an experiment here. You got to deal with me. You know, I tend to push you over the limits here sometimes. But I want you to repeat after me. Take a deep breath and say, I love you. Very good. Now I want you to take a deep breath and say, I hate you. Do you notice the difference and the hesitation? That's the power of words. When we do it intentionally, we don't like doing it. We are entrusted with a great power. We're given a gift that can either create or destroy. We can build up with this gift or we can tear down with it. And I want you to remember one of the strongest warnings that Jesus said and taught us in Matthew. In Matthew 12, verse 36, he says, I tell you on the day of judgment that you will have to give an account for every careless word you utter. Man, am I in trouble. That's going to be a long accounting list, I'm going to tell you. And so it is important for us. It is important. We can't take it very lightly. The fact is, the power of speech is very closely connected to our being created in the image of God. Words are powerful. With words, we can draw people closer to the love of God, or we can push them away. We can set the course of a child's life with a careless word and turn a young person around with a positive and nourishing word. Now James uses the analogy of a bit in a horse's mouth and a rudder on a sail ship. And you know that I love that analogy because I love the horses. And horses are amazingly strong animals. They can weigh up to 2,000 pounds and sometimes more. And that one little piece of metal can steer and control an animal that big. They can be wild and unpredictable at times. And I told you before that I grew up on a camp, mostly, and I learned to sail. I don't remember how now, but I did remember sailing. We had rebels and sunfishes that we would sail on this lake. And when you get the sails and they're full of that wind, they harness so much power that only one little sheet of metal that goes in the keel keeps the whole thing from capsizing. These are the things that James says the tongue is like. Profound, powerful images. And in Jesus' day, words were taken very seriously. We read scriptures about how people were given a blessing or cursed, and it changed the course of their life. We know about Jacob, who stole his brother's blessing, and we saw how that turned around and how that turned about out. And it seems a little bit archaic to us that words are that powerful, but it is true that they have the power to build up or tear down. We have all seen the effects of words on each other. And teachers, I thought immediately of teachers, that teachers have probably seen more than once the effects of words on a child's life. How many of us grew up feeling fat or dumpy or dumb or uncoordinated or stupid and the like because of something that a parent offhandedly said? How many of us have been on the receiving end of an old-fashioned tongue lashing? And finally, James warns us that the tongue is double-minded. I don't think any of us really want to intentionally hurt others. I don't think that we want to bring pain or be mean-spirited. We just can't seem to get control over our tongues. And in a moment of weakness, we have a slip of the tongue that hurts someone else. So here's the deal. This is the so what. James tells us that the tongue is controlled only when our hearts are in line with God. It isn't the tongue, it's what's in our hearts that makes the difference. Our tongues betray us and reveal what is really in our hearts. And so if we want to control our tongues, we have to get control and make our minds transformed into the image of Christ and into the image of God. If we really want to be Christ-like, if we are moving on to perfection, we need to change our hearts so that those things no longer bother us. And frankly, if we looked more at ourselves and not so much at everybody else and worrying about everyone else, then maybe those things wouldn't come out of our mouths so quickly. Those of us who are called by the name of Christ need to be more intentional about our attempts at what comes out of our mouths. It is this double standard that the non-Christian culture finds so repulsive. A congregation that cannot control their tongues will die. Whether for good or for bad, if we cannot control what comes out of our mouths, we will die. It will be revealed as double-minded, and people will flee from it. So our call is to change what's in our hearts. Make it a priority to keep Christ, to always focus on how are we in relationship with Jesus. How are we being transformed? How are our minds being renewed? And sometimes, folks, sometimes the hardest place to do that is in our own home. sometimes the people that we are the meanest to are the people that we love the most, because they take it. And they have to take it. So my challenge to you this week is that as we go through the week, that we would think about what we say, that we would pray every day and open our day with prayer and ask God to just be with us and to remind us about the power, the absolute power that we have in words and speech. Amen. God has given us great gifts. The gift of speech to encourage, the gift of speech to share your faith with one another. Of his many, many gifts, we give back to him. We are called into that spiritual act of worship, and so I invite the ushers to come for the gathering of our offerings. God, we are called to listen to the words of wisdom and to respond with our whole lives. We hear your words of wisdom, your words of call and life. May these gifts, not only for our money, but for our very lives, our words and thoughts, be acceptable to you and help spread your words of life and love. Amen. Our closing hymn is Love Divine, All Love Excelling, number 384.
Thank you.
we go out into the world and always cast our love before one another. And may we speak with kind words and welcome people into the kingdom of God. Go in peace, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and be blessed. Amen.